T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track 4 games at once with multi-view mode. And catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
The Random Question of the Day, weekdays at 12:45 on Cody and Gold.
Back here on Cody and Gold, Alex Gold with you, Nick Schwert producing the show, Dusty Likens in for Cody Tapp as well. Coming up here in about 8 minutes or so, we'll get some betting advice heading into week 7 already of the NFL season. The Chiefs, 5.5-point favorites. Maybe a little surprising that the line has gone in that direction after the Titans win against Buffalo. Perhaps you would have thought the line would go down to maybe the Chiefs only 2.5 or 3.5-point favorites. We'll check in with Quinton Mayo, our Odyssey Sports betting insider from BetQL, the Bet 1660, and get his perspective on some of the best bets for the NFL weekend. But Dusty, we've talked over the last couple of days in particular about Chris Jones. Is it time to move him back inside? Mm-hmm. And if you are able to get more and more out of Mike Dana, which they have, it maybe gives you that flexibility to do so. And if Frank Clark is going to stay healthy, this will be 2 weeks in a row now, or actually 3 weeks in a row coming on where he's going to be available, then you have that option. But I think this is the wrong week, man, to do that. This is not the week to move Chris Jones back inside for a couple reasons. Number one, if you look at Tennessee and their rushing attack, I don't believe that you want to suddenly have Chris Jones on the inside against Derrick Henry. Like, that's not Chris. Run stuffing is not Chris Jones' strength. That's not where he succeeds. I believe you need to have him on the edge a little bit more. I would rather have a little bit of his ability on the edge against Derrick Henry, but more importantly, those times where Ryan Tannehill is going to pass the football. Like, I want to see this one more week where Chris Jones and Frank Clark together on the field. That's not something we've seen very often this season. I want to see that one more time on the edge before I fully commit to saying it's time to move him back inside.
I kind of disagree. I think that the best opportunity to show that he's where he needs to be is a week like this week. Because, again, the last time the Chiefs played this Titans team, they probably played last year because they won their division. Did they play last year? I don't think they did. So the last time they played was in the AFC Championship game, correct? Which was the last time that Frank Clark and Chris Jones were on the same field at the same time. Chris Jones, I believe, my theory is, and I talked about this Monday night, my theory with Chris Jones is that, look, it hasn't worked at D-end. You do have a small sample size. You have 4 games. He's been out weeks 5 and week 6 with a wrist injury. He's clearly coming back this week. The last time they played against Derrick Henry was in the playoffs, and they shut him down. We got the quote from Frank Clark, which is like one of the best postgame quotes ever. We came to their house, we kicked down their door, and we took their you-know-what. And I think if you have him on the outside in a game like this against Derrick Henry, they will then bait him and try to push him out or let him come around the edge, which then gives Henry that inside, that outside run, which can be just explosive. That's where he went nuts against Buffalo, which hadn't allowed over 80 yards rushing to anybody, and then he went in there and just destroyed them on Monday Night Football. So I think with Chris Jones being in the middle gives you somewhat of a dominant presence because it hasn't been there yet. And that's where teams are killing the Chiefs, is between the tackles when it comes to running the ball. They're just destroying them there. And the problem with that is that's what they're going to do with the Chiefs. They're just going to pound Derrick Henry right up the middle in the A-gap, and they're going to try to do that the entire game and just beat you to death with it. Because what we know is one thing, Henry, after first contact, is one of the best running backs ever. And also, as the game progresses on, he's going to get better because big running backs like that just get better as the game moves on. And in the fourth quarter, he's just disgusting. His numbers are insane. So I think with Chris Jones in the middle, it helps. And I also think that we just would see a better version of this defensive line with Chris Jones there because he's able to swap balls down. So if you do want to let Ryan Tannehill go out there and try to beat you, he's going to get disruptive that way more than he's going to get disrupted by rushing the edge as a defensive end.
Yeah, I just don't think this is the week four. I mean, overall, I agree with your point. Like, if this wasn't this week against Derrick Henry, because to me, yes, the best defense is if Frank Clark's out there and you start to get a little bit more faith in Mike Dana. This is why they wanted him to bring in Whitney Mercilus, because to me, then you could rotate those three and have it on the outside. I don't think Chris Jones in run downs is all that effective. As ineffective as Jaron Reed has been, Derek Nnadi and Colin Saunders, I think, both play quite a bit. I think you'll see the snaps go up for Colin Saunders this week because of his size,
big
to
bodies.
Your point about running up the middle. I don't think this is the week where you move Chris Jones inside. I think that's coming. I would like them to just go back to their initial plan from the beginning of the season, which was before Frank Clark was hurt with the hamstring. It was Chris Jones outside first and second down, inside on third down on obvious passing situations to get the interior pressure. That's what I would like to have happen. Them both being hurt is what's really hurt that. And the good news is Chris Jones did practice yesterday, as we know. So hopefully this wrist contusion. Yeah, I saw that video.
He seemed loose and ready to go, man.
He's going to play on Sunday.
Yeah, and I think that's why the wrist injury has been such a major portion of his setback, is because I think they need that more with the push he'll give in the middle than he will on the outside. Now, again, I've never played defensive end in the NFL, yet alone I've never played defensive tackle in any capable level of football. I'm just not.
Not because you couldn't.
No.
Well, the choice you made.
I mean, I used to be a lot fatter than I am now, and I probably could have plugged some holes on the defensive side. But the thing is that I think they wanted him to be as strong and healthy as he possibly could because of the situation you are getting against the Titans. They look ahead. Look, they blanked Washington in the second half. Washington's been blank six quarters this year.
But he didn't play against Buffalo. I mean,
they didn't have a run threat against you. Like, you weren't worried about Moss, and you weren't worried about Singletary.
You worried about Josh Allen.
Yeah, but Josh Allen's best running is going to come outside, which is where Chris Jones is ineffective, because then they let you have that rush, and then he goes out or he goes inside, whichever way you bite. And I just think, again, look, I've never had
Week one, and I know Chris Jones played week one, but Frank Clark didn't. We saw Nick Chubb. We saw their inability to seal the edge, and I think that's the one thing with Frank Clark being available that changes this game a little bit differently from the past. I know everybody's down on Frank Clark. Understand it. So am I. The one thing he's actually done a nice job of has been in the run game and sealing the edge. When we saw week one, when Kando was trying to do it, and look, he was a rookie in his first game, but still, Kando trying to do that was a disaster.
The other thing that's got to be big for Chris Jones, too, is, like, what does that defensive look like, that defensive front look like with him next to Reed? Now, I get it. Reed's, you want to argue about where's Frank Clark been. You can argue where Jaron Reed's been, because all we heard from the coach.
He hasn't played this year, as far as I'm concerned.
Nothing. Yeah. Like, I saw him for the first time last week, bull rush the middle. But all we heard this preseason was how great he's been. And that was coming from the top dog on the coaching staff. That was Andy Reid. So my theory is that, yes, it's a tough conversation to have with Chris Jones, because all he's wanted to do is play DN the last couple of years. Almost as bad as he's wanted to play quarterback, which is a joke that he's always made. But to tell a guy, hey, it just didn't work out in 4 weeks of a 17-week schedule, we're going to move you back inside. It's a little demoralizing, right? Like, you're not being told.
Just demoralizing. It's like, as you said, This was the plan that they put in place before the season, and now 6 weeks in, you have to abandon it because you have to admit that was a bad idea.
Because it's
been... I think they're ultimately going to be willing to admit that mistake. They've done enough. They've had enough success to where they can do that, and it's okay. If this was a young coaching staff that hadn't won anything, I think it's tougher to make that decision. To me, if ultimately it's failed, you admit that it didn't work out. And some of it, I think, has to do with the fact that we haven't seen Frank Clark and Chris Jones on the field very often, which is why I'm intrigued a little bit this week, if that ends up being the case. You're okay if you know the ultimate goal is for you to put together a defense that doesn't hold you back from winning a Super Bowl. Nobody's going to care that. Oh, yeah, remember when they tried that Chris Jones deal for the first 6 weeks? It didn't work out. How dare they switch back to it? Nobody's going to care if this team ends up in the Super Bowl.
Well, we don't have to talk about it now because the contract doesn't kick in till next year. And this year, a lot of the animosity is directed towards Frank Clark. Yep. But, like, starting next year, Chris Jones is going to be one of the highest paid non-quarterbacks, not just defensive players, one of the highest paid non-quarterbacks in the NFL. And at some point, you need to get return on investment. And at that position, all that matters is pressuring the quarterback, right? So, like, that, at the end of the day, that's all we're talking about is put him in the spot where he can. Like, I agree with you, Dusty. I do think he helps stop the run, and that's important this week. But that's not why they paid him that money. Like, he needs to get pressure on the quarterback, and he just hasn't this year.
But he's had, what do you have last year, 15 and a half sacks? as a defensive tackle?
2 years ago, yeah.
How many has he got as a defensive end this year in four games?
Yeah, I mean, there's no pass rush.
Arrest my case.
Two, and they were all in week one, right?
Arrest my case.
Look, again, you and I are on the same page.
How many
padded
balls do you have this season?
You and I are on the same page of like the need to make the switch. I don't disagree. I think that is coming. I think they're going, as long as Frank Clark stays healthy, they'll be able to do that. With Frank Clark not healthy, they can't move him back inside. As long as Frank Clark stays healthy, they can do that. But I just don't believe this is the week that I would do it. Maybe you'll start to see him rotate back in. I mean, ultimately, that's really not against Derrick Henry. You and I just disagree, obviously,
anybody run against him. It doesn't matter who it is.
Yeah, but overall, to me, this is not the week that I suddenly think, if they're going to run on you, why would I put Chris Jones back inside this week?
Because
and then
the
on
last
the edge,
time
then I have Kando on the outside with and Mike Dana. I don't know if they're
feeling
the edge.
Because the last time those two played together on the defense against Derrick Henry, they locked him down.
Yeah, and look, I've been the guy that have mentioned 2019 a lot in the AFC title game, and I've referenced his 5-point whatever yards per carry average before, and then the Chiefs only gave up 3.7.
Sure.
I've mentioned that, but we all know this is also just not the same defense of 2019.
Right. No, it's not, but it's still coached by the same guy that was here in 2019.
Sure.
And he can go back to hit. And again, you don't necessarily have to have you don't have to necessarily have Chris Jones play full defensive tackle the entire game.
No, I want
you have the capability.
Correct.
Yeah,
I want the original plan, because what you just said is what the plan was supposed to be.
And we haven't seen it.
Yeah, the plan was supposed to be Chris Jones on, essentially, we saw it in preseason.
Yeah.
First and second down.
Effective.
Outside. Yeah, effective. That's why we got excited. We joked a little bit, but that's why I was like, I'll take a flyer on a 50-1 bet for defensive player of the year.
Sure.
Obviously, he looks dumb now. I get it.
So far.
But it was a flyer bet for a reason.
But it wasn't an expensive bet.
Correct. It was 50-1 at the time.
Right.
We'll see. I think there'll be some shift a little bit in it this week, but I don't expect them to say full go. Hey, Chris Jones, you're back at defensive tackle. I don't think this is the week where we get to that point in time. What about the chance of the Chiefs covering this game? Let's talk about that a little bit with Quentin May, our Odyssey Sports betting insider from BetQL. He's on the line. He's the host of BetMGM Tonight. Quentin Mayo and Insider Calls are presented by BetQL. Get access to data and insights the sportsbooks don't want you to see. You can bet smarter and beat the books. Download the BetQL app or visit BetQL.com today. Quentin, the Chiefs are -5.5. I was surprised that the line went up to 5.5, not the other way around, based on what the Titans were able to do against the Bills.
Yeah, I'm very confused. And first and foremost, thanks for having me. I would have thought that line would have went down to maybe 3.5 in the favor of the Chiefs, but going up to 5.5 now, it's very awkward to me. Now, I know the Chiefs, maybe there's a little bit of an overreaction because you guys beat up on my Washington football team, but if you guys really watch that Washington football team game, like, Washington looked trash, and I know the Chiefs didn't look great either. Of course, the red zone woes poked their heads out again, but in the second half, they showed some prowess there, but maybe that's a slight overreaction because they've covered in two of their last three games against the spread after a 0-3 start ATS. So, it's weird. To be completely honest with you guys, I would probably, if I had to make a pick on the side, take the Titans to cover 5.5 as dogs at home. I think they really, they got something, they got in a bit of a groove, especially in the second half of that game, and it was a really important game for them to beat the Buffalo Bills. They're back at home against the Titans, the Chiefs. So I don't know. We'll see what that line looks like closer to game time, but 5.5 is a very large spread for a team like the Chiefs, who right now they're a mess. But both teams are a mess, especially defensively.
The total's at 57.5, too, man. That thing has gone.
Smash the over.
That thing's gone over, or gone up, I should say. The Chiefs, of course, are sitting at the highest total of the season. I mean, based on what we were just discussing there about these two defenses, is that number getting to the point where you feel like you have to bet the under, or is it still in play for you?
Oh, absolutely not. That number needs to be 100 before I get there. Like, the 57.5, I already bet the over. That's the one play that I've definitely made so far. And we're still looking like, look at the Chiefs offense. So with all the woes that they've had in the turnovers, they're still averaging 31 points per game. And they're not even playing well yet. They also look at the other side, the Titans, their defense, they're 27th in total defense, 26th in overall DVOA. Like, they can't stop anybody either. And they also have some injuries to their secondary, which could cause for concern, especially with this Chiefs team, who the one thing they can do is move the ball down the field. Now, finishing those drives is another question, but I'm taking the over 57.5. It's going to get bet up even more than this. And right before game time, wouldn't surprise me to hit 58.5, because this number is going to keep going up and up. And there's also something right now at MGM. It's a special parlay that we have. Both teams to score 30 or more points, it's +240. So if you like parlays, plus money, I think both of these teams can score 20-plus. Also, I already made a little play on the Chiefs team total over 31.5. I like them to score over 31.5. But I think at some point in time, like, this offense cannot continue to turn the ball over and drop passes like they've been doing. Like, it has to come around eventually. So I'll take the over on the team total and the over on the full game.
We're talking to Quinton Mayo, the host of BetMGM Tonight, our Odyssey Sports betting insider. And Quinton, is there a number that the rushing yard prop could get to for Derrick Henry where you wouldn't bet the over? Is like, what's the number to get you to bet the under on a Derrick Henry rushing yard prop this week?
It's 1,000 of them, like being completely honest. Like, I mean, but maybe once we start getting to the hundreds, last week his number, I believe, was 94, and I was afraid to take the over, and, well, look at where we are now. I could have made some money. But the thing about it is, let's say the Chiefs do come out and they score first, and they shore up those drop passes, and they do have to get out to a slight lead, or they're scoring at a rate in which Tennessee's not comfortable with. You know, Derrick Henry could kind of be edged out of that rotation just because you do have to throw the ball more. Now, another concern, of course, in this game is the fact that, is A.J. Brown going to play? Is Julio Jones going to play? They're both questionable with hamstring and illness. And also, they're missing maybe Taylor Lewin. Their offensive tackle may not be available as well. So if the Chiefs go up, let's say, 14 early, it would not be a terrible play to think the Chiefs come out there and dominate against a bad defensive secondary, and Derrick Henry kind of gets edged out of this game. But I wouldn't be the one that's going against Derrick Henry anytime soon, because that team looked pretty much dysfunctional until Derrick Henry just started deciding that he's going to go full beast mode and run over everybody in his path.
Kind of going against the Chiefs game, one that I'm kind of interested in is the Rams, I think, in one of them are minus 15 or minus 15.5. It's the Matthew Stafford revenge game. Co-host Alex here thinks it's also the Jared Goff revenge game. Are you not smashing the Rams minus 15 or minus 15.5 this week because of the fact that Stafford's going to go out there and throw for 5 touchdowns and 400 yards?
Well, here's the thing about the Lions. I love the Lions because I believe they believe in Dan Campbell and they want to go ahead and win for him, but that team is just not really good, offensively especially. Like, Quintez Stevens is legit like their best weapon that they have. But I don't love playing the Rams so far this season because it's something weird about the Rams in terms of the way they're – like, McVay has been concerned with some of the play calling, and this could seem like a letdown spot. Now, some emotions could be a thing here, but Detroit on the road against the Rams, I don't know. I wouldn't take the Rams to cover 15.5, but I don't necessarily believe that the Lions would cover 15.5 either. That's a total stay away game for me.
What about tonight, Thursday Night Football, all sorts of injuries for the Cleveland Browns? We know it's going to be Case Keenum getting the start, and that line's gone down, not as much as we thought, or does that just tell us about how everybody's perceiving the Broncos? It's what, Broncos plus 2.5 tonight. Do you like any side?
I would probably take the Broncos still. I actually hopped on the Broncos before the Case Keenum announcement when Baker Mayfield initially was questionable for this game coming up. But I got it 4.5. It's down to 2.5. I still think I would take it because here's the thing. Case Keenum, short week, he's going up against a defense that sits ninth in success rate. He has had 62 career starts, but Case Keenum is not some great quarterback, or not even a good quarterback, I believe. And Denver's going to make life uncomfortable for him. Now, both teams are limping into this game. Of course, you talked about the injuries on both sides, but Denver blitzes at a third highest rate in the league and could force Case Keenum into some poor decision-making, especially on a short prep week. I think it's too many unknowns for me to trust the Browns right now. They have injuries literally to every skill position. And on defense, their linebackers are down too, but the Broncos have the same thing with them. But I'd rather trust the Broncos to come in there and keep it close. The total is 41. I'd take the under. I know a lot of people are saying, well, there's less skill position. Linebackers are out there. You know, these guys are not going to have a lot of experience, and it's going to be points galore. I don't know about that. This game feels like a dirty, filthy Thursday night 13-3 game, and we've been spoiled on Thursday Night Football here recently, but I'm going to take the under. I don't think they combine for 20 points. Like, I think it's going to be bad tonight.
Yeah, there's been some good primetime games, but this one does have that feeling like it's just going to be an ugly one for everybody. That is
my eyes are going to be bleeding.
That's our Odyssey Sports betting insider, Quinton Mayo. Thanks as always, Quinton. Appreciate it, man.
Thanks for having me, fellas. Have a great show.
You got it. That's Quinton Mayo, the host of BetMGM Tonight, over on the Bet 1660 and the BetQL app. Of course, you can get access to data and insights the sportsbooks don't want you to see. Bet smarter, beat the books. Download the BetQL app or visit BetQL.com today. Yeah, the total for the Chiefs, 57. It has a lot of points. He's like, he's like, yeah, it's still not. Still, like, that prop, the parlay, I should say, you mentioned. Both teams to score over 30. Do we not think that's
going to
happen?
Chiefs are scoring 40. The Chiefs are going to score 40 points on Sunday.
When's the last time the Chiefs didn't score?
Monday, even.
Yeah, I mean, I think if you look at as we led the show with. I mean, I just, this is the week the turnover luck changes. And if they were already scoring 31, talking about Kansas City, yeah, why would you not think they're putting up 38 plus in this game? I mean,
right.
that's how I think you have to look at this one on Sunday in Nashville. And as we pointed out yesterday, the home field advantage thing is just not as impactful as what it used to be for anybody in the league right now. This is 3 years in a row where you've seen a trend. And right now the home teams are losing, what, six or seven more games than road teams are in the NFL. Right now, let's get to the trash of the day.
Trash of the day.
Trash of the day is brought to you by 1-800-GOT-JUNK. Just point, and it is gone. We go to Indiana for this one. Oh. Dusty, you strike me as someone that's actually been to Indiana before.
Never
I don't know why.
Life.
I feel like you'd fit into Indiana just right.
Go to hell.
You're a big Colts fan.
I'm not.
Long time Cleveland Guardians fan.
Okay. I'm glad
Greensburg.
You put
What's Indiana's number one export?
I don't know. Peyton Manning jerseys?
For a while.
Oil? I don't know what it is. I did like Dallas Clark.
Did you? You're a Dallas Clark guy.
Big fan. I mean, because of Madden.
Okay. Well, I bring it up because
soybeans.
Okay.
Is that what it is?
Soybeans.
Oh, all right. My.
There's an Indiana town that will give you cash and grandparents on demand if you move there, Dusty. That's why I was wondering if you strike me someone that could live there. They will pay people a total of $7,000 in cash and gift incentives and give eligible candidates free grandparents to live in Greensburg, Indiana.
Why do you
They're
want
trying
free
to
grandparents?
Entice remote workers to Greensburg, not just with cash, grandparents on
so
demand.
So they give you grandparents?
Yep.
Wait, so like I get a grandpa and grandma that aren't...
Are they like near death?
Wait.
Like, how long do you get
them? Who's looking to inherit grandparents?
Not me.
It says eligible applicants will get $5,000 to offset your moving expense, a year membership to the YMCA.
I'm good.
Gift cards to seasonal farmer markets, tickets throughout the year to the local playhouse, access
Wait,
to
what?
A... I don't know.
Stop.
I'm tired of
playhouse.
Scoffing.
I don't know if they mean it in the way you're thinking it, Dusty.
That just reminds me of, like, Paul Rubens.
The access to a concierge team to help with relocation and opportunities.
That's
you also
cool.
can go to community events.
We need to stop skimming past the grandparents on demand.
I know. Yeah. I'm trying to read further. There's no explanation why.
I mean, sometimes they're cool.
Grandparents, maybe their grandparents are going to spoil you as well. They're just, you know,
Wait,
grandparents
are these just
spoil.
Are these just elderly citizens in need of care?
They just want kids?
No, you don't have to take care of the grandparents.
Wait, we just have
Says
to love
who?
I just have to love them.
I think it's just the benefits of it.
What benefits, dude? I need to know why that is a part of this package.
It says their friend also offers babysitting hours and will stand in on Grandparents' Day at school.
I'm good. Grandparents' Day is depressing. It's like when Dr. Evil talked to his class. He's like, I was a son. Like, it just, you don't need it.
Newsflash, I don't have Grandparents' Day at school. It's like, I have to have kids just so.
I'm not in school anymore. I paid my dues. I don't have grandparents. I paid my dues there.
Did my time.
Well, population 11,228.
I got one of the worst Christmas gifts from grandparents. Well, great grandparents. They gave me an ashtray and $5 to McDonald's at age 9. I don't even smoke.
You didn't have that loving relationship.
It's a Coors Light ashtray. I don't even smoke cigs. I don't hang darts.
Text line says, look, some of us grew up without grandparents. Some people would like to experience that. Some people haven't had.
Some people can be so lucky. Yeah. I'm kidding. I love my grandparents. My grandpa was a G. He had a lake house at Shell Knob. It was
grandparents
a great place.
Will spoil you. Grandparents
not
were fantastic.
Not all.
Yeah, but I did have grandparents, and I don't want anybody to replace them.
Yeah, that's
I don't
the thing.
I don't want these fake grandparents
I think these
to soil the memory of
I think these are for
ones.
People that don't have any grandparents anymore, maybe. Maybe they're no longer
So not only them. Do you have to go to Indiana and Indianapolis.
Greensburg, Indiana, too. Mm.
Like, not even, like, a good Indianapolis.
Somebody said Indiana's only thing is the Indianapolis 500. Or the Indy 500.
They got South Bend. Notre Dame football is
pretty
cool.
Don't you get
cool.
milk when you win that, too? You have to drink milk. You can't have any, like, anything else.
Yeah, what if the Indy driver's lactose intolerant? Do you think they have one ready
they
to go
do.
Just
Remember
in case?
Remember we talked about
Almond
this.
Milk?
Almond milk's actually not bad.
I drink it every day.
As I say, it's pretty good in, like, a
I don't drink milk.
You don't drink coffee, do you?
Nope.
You drink water that's labeled Deja Blue.
No.
He drinks this Propel. Is
from it's from the vending machine.
He drinks Propel.
Ew. You drink G2, don't you?
Yeah.
You drink Mio in your water, don't you?
No, I think that's nasty.
I feel like you're a Mio guy.
Mm-mm.
I think he is, too.
No, I don't like Mio. I think the flavors are terrible in the Mio stuff.
You ever drove through Gary, Indiana? It's where Michael Jackson's from. And if you go from Chicago to South Bend, which I've made that drive a couple times,
mm-hmm.
you have to drive past Gary, Indiana, the home of MJ. there's just like a never-ending cloud cast over that town.
Hoosiers is the worst, most overrated sports movie of all time.
Is Indiana a bottom five state?
You're just bleeding right now, plain vanilla ice cream. You love Hoosiers. You love Deja Blue water.
No, they could have whatever brand of water in the vending machine here. I would drink it. It's just what we happen to have it.
We have free water right over here. All you got to do is bring a canteen.
Yeah,
and
once
save
I
the
finish
earth.
This bottle, then I'll fill it up with the deal. I left my. I've been leaving it at home.
Then
I
you should have to go without water.
That seems like a terrible.
Pete Sweeney just texted me and said, "Dude, lay off grandparents. Kiss my ass, Pete."
Hey, Dusty, rapid fire, bottom five states.
Oh, man. Bottom five, yeah. Florida, Texas, Montana, North Dakota, South Dakota.
Strong list.
I don't want to go to Florida. Like, I love golf, and I don't know the last thing that I would do if I would, there was an alligator on a golf course.
Oh, that's why you like. That's why you don't like Florida. Dude, alligators.
I'd rather go to, like, South Carolina. Same thing. Beach, nice. Myrtle Beach is great. Hilton Head's up there somewhere. Mm-hmm. That's my dream. Yeah. By the way, that is
golf.
My.
You just want
to
golf.
That's my dream job, is to be Bones Jones and be the guy that's like, well, he's sitting in a big patch of rough over here, and then all I do is just play golf, have nice tan legs, shoot, 71.
Way to add in the tan legs part. That's a
have
key.
You seen golfers' legs
every day?
Yeah, they're nice.
Is that something you've been striving for? Tan legs?
My whole life. My whole plan is to get like 5 years of on air talent here, and then get a job in North Carolina, and you'll never hear from me again. Call the vacuum guy from Breaking Bad, get in the back of a semi, and just never hear me again.
Oh, my goodness. That is the trash of the day. Coming up next in the Chiefs Red Half Hour, Chris Carter laid out his plan for the Chiefs against Derrick Henry.
Cody and Gold, weekdays 10 to 2, 610 Sports Radio.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.
Chiefs Red Half Hour, every day at 11:30 on Cody and Gold.
The Chiefs Red Half Hour is brought to you by E. Edwards Workwear, proud partner of Carhartt Clothing. Hanging out here on a Thursday, Dusty Likens is in for Cody Tapp. Of course, I'm Alex Gold, Nick Schwert producing
of course.
The show. Well, just like it's the same voice.
Just unnecessary.
Okay.
No, it's nice to clarify.
Okay.
In case anybody's confused.
New people listening every day, Dusty.
That's fair.
New people every single day in Kansas. It's a big day in Kansas City anyway. World Cup selection committees all in town and all that. We'll get to that during What's Trending. But
that'd be great.
World Cup would be awesome.
Because I mean, especially with the United States finally starting to get together and put together a team on the pitch.
Maybe.
Yeah, but traffic would be crazy.
Yeah, that's
week.
Right.
Oh, my God.
Where is everybody going to park, you know?
Huh. So in that case, I say just let somebody else have it. What do you guys think?
I mean, coming from two people that probably don't enjoy soccer.
No, I would love the World Cup here. We're going to talk about this during What's Trending. But
nobody likes soccer more than me. Except for maybe Alex.
Or Rob Britton.
No, I hear he really doesn't like it that much.
It's all an image thing for him.
Yeah, he's got the podcast that kind of said, you got to act like you like it a little bit. So like, maybe it'll help if you root for some team like Chelsea overseas, too. Like, yeah, maybe people believe you.
Well, it's also, come on, Christian Pulisic.
For real
soccer fans don't have to brag about how much they like soccer.
Dusty, what time is your fantasy show on Sundays? 9 a.m. unless the Chiefs play at noon. I just had to get that in there.
Oh, so that can get plugged. I just can't remind people.
Well, yeah, because you're on every day.
But the fantasy show can get plugged. Okay, all right.
For sure it can. People actually care about that. They don't care about you. They care about the stories you come up with. You personally, they don't care about your stories and your content. They care about harsh reality. If you're just figuring this out, welcome to radio.
That's actually ass backwards, though.
It's not.
People listen for the content and the personalities. That
What'd you say first, though? The content.
Yeah. Anyway, we don't need to have this discussion.
Because you're wrong. He got Cheez-Its, by the way. By the way, best Cheez-Its are the burnt ones.
That's the most flavorful snack I've ever seen him eat.
Toasty Cheez-Its. Well, yeah, normally he eats Tostitos and
you
like
You guys keep
plain.
Talking. I'm just gonna eat.
No one wants to hear that. Chiefs Red Half Hour. Of course, I'm Dusty Likens with Alex Gold here on Cody and Gold.
See,
Cody
now he has to chew it.
Yeah, he doesn't want to. Oh, gosh. I do care about fantasy than Alex Gold. This is true. I'm trying to be, like, the most nicest. Like, we have a good relationship. We text each other. We talk to each other regularly. And, you know, I'm here to help.
What kind of fantasy show do you host? Like, role-playing and...
No. There is conversation of handcuffs, but that's more so with like Tony Pollard and Zeke Elliott.
But if it was, would you be okay discussing like is handcuffs your thing?
Negative. I don't like that.
You don't like to be restrained?
No. I have before in my life, but by police officers.
Oh. You like to bind or be bound?
I don't think this has anything to do with Chiefs Red Half Hour.
No, it's the fantasy show. You wanted to promote the fantasy show.
Fantasy football show.
Fantasy football.
Can I come on and ask you fantasy questions?
You sure can. I mean, I know that there are people that get mad at you when you don't respond to their questions when you fill in for Jay Binkley from 10 to noon on Sundays.
Yeah, because I'll come on right after you, and I'm getting like your leftovers of people asking about fantasy football advice. Like, I'm not the expert. I'm legally not allowed to give fantasy football advice.
That should show you how entertaining you are compared to me, then. Boom.
All right, it is the Chiefs Red Half Hour. And yeah. I was listening to Good Morning Football. Of course, you know, Kyle Brandt comes on our show on Mondays. And he hosts that with Pete Schrager. And they've had Chris Carter start to come on a little bit more. And they were having a conversation about, all right, how do you stop Derrick Henry? Is that even possible? Can you limit Derrick Henry? Listen to the plan that Chris Carter says the Chiefs should have on Sunday.
Penetration into the backfield, run stunts, especially on first and second down. And I'm going to tell you, I don't mind if they throw the ball. I'm going to force Tannehill to throw the ball 40, 45 times because I'm going to put so many people by the line of scrimmage to discourage Peter from them thinking, oh, you know something? Because typically teams, if there's eight in the box, they won't run the ball.
Uh-huh. They do, though.
Yes, they do.
So I'm 100% with Chris Carter on this, that you can live with losing if Ryan Tannehill goes out and beats you throwing the ball 40-plus times and just he beats you in a shootout with Mahomes and he throws 40-plus times and has 330 yards and four touchdowns. I'll take my chances of that happening versus not at least trying to have an effort to limit Derrick Henry a little bit. Like, Derrick Henry's going to get his, but make Ryan Tannehill have to make the throws. If we watch the game on Monday night, we know that their best thing they had going was Derrick Henry and the play action off of Derrick Henry. But there were a couple passes that Ryan Tannehill missed on, a couple guys that were wide open. So I think that is still the route I would prefer. And so do the Chiefs. He's saying, hey, put eight men in the box, make it evident you're going to sell out essentially against the run, make him beat you. I don't know if that's what the Chiefs will do, but the general idea of make Ryan Tannehill throw it 40-plus times, we're going to score offensively, 40-plus points, make him have to go make some throws. Uh-huh. And if you look at Ryan Tannehill so far this season, he's only thrown over 40 passes two times this year. It was back in week two. It was a win, 33-30 against Seattle. He was 27 of 40, and he, in that game, threw for 347, but didn't have a touchdown, surprisingly. Right. And then it was 49 times in week four in their loss to the New York Jets when they threw it 49 times and there was no A.J. Brown or Julio Jones in that game. Think about that for a second. They threw it 40, I know it went to overtime, but still. They threw it 49 times in a game without Julio Jones or A.J. Brown. That, of course, spells disaster. They lost 27-24. Their win against Buffalo, he threw it 29 times. We saw how that game went. And against Jacksonville, it was Jacksonville. He only threw it 22 times. I think to keep up with Kansas City, they're going to have to pass a little bit. And I'm going to make Ryan Tannehill throw the ball 40 times against me if he's going to beat me.
I mean, it always goes back to that type of thing. Like, do you want to let Ryan Tannehill beat you? Like, what does that do for, moving forward into the next week? Like, I can't, because there will be that type of argument. They'll be like, well, we got beat by Ryan Tannehill. What does that mean for our defense? The thought is that he can't beat you.
I understand
that. That's what I'm saying.
But he has, right? Remember that the game that right before the winning streak, Super Bowl year?
Yeah.
Four play, 80-yard drive?
Right.
And you saw last week, second half. Like, it was all Derrick Henry at the beginning, but then it was the Tannehill, A.J. Brown show. So, like, he's not on that level of quarterback play, but also
right,
he's
but he
shown
had 29
the capability
passes for
of
216 yards. Right. Okay, I'm telling you,
needed to make those throws in the second half, he did.
Yeah, on the two drives of the end, he made plays, correct. The two drives at the end of the game, he made plays. So like, there were some misses, but yeah.
He is capable of doing it, especially against an inferior defense.
Sure, but I'm not losing this game and having Derrick Henry run on 220 yards rushing on me. That's not happening. If it's halftime and Derrick Henry has 105 yards rushing on me, I am doing everything possible, daring them to throw every single... I'm not losing that way, is what I'm trying to say. That's just not how I'm going to lose. I'm not saying it's a guaranteed win if Ryan Tannehill throws it 45 times, but I love my chances more if he's throwing it that, because that also likely means that the Chiefs have a little bit of a lead, because ultimately that's the formula, right? Kansas City, they can defer the toss all they want, whatever. They get a stop on the first series, and Kansas City gets out to a 7-0 lead or 10-0 lead,
yeah.
And then they are forced eventually to get away from running the ball. That's the perfect scenario for you against the Tennessee Titans.
But that's where I disagree, because I don't think they will shy away from the run unless they're down by 17, which I don't see that happening. I think that the Titans
I think it can happen. Absolutely.
I think the Titans will continue to run the ball because the Chiefs can't stop the run, and I think that Derrick Henry has the ability to be just as effective as throwing the ball if you want to think about him having one handoff going 42 yards and then another handoff going 27 yards.
I'm just saying at a certain point you just keep stack the box and like it basically make it to where it's a situation where like they'd be almost stupid not to pass the ball on a certain down. That's all
right.
I'm saying.
No. I mean, they're going to do exactly what the teams did against the Chiefs in the early 2000s when they had Priest Holmes. They're going to put 8-9 guys in the box and say, okay, Trent Green, Bo Richter's available to throw it deep if you want to hit him on a deep pattern. We're not giving up the Pollitt. We're not giving up Tony Gonzalez. We're not going to let Priest Holmes beat us. Go do it. I think that Tannehill can make those plays every once in a while. I'm like you. I don't think he can consistently do it throughout a game and actually beat you. I think that there is too much out now with how they like to scheme behind that, where they try to use Derrick Henry as a threat and then roll Tannehill out. My only concern is how crazy does Tannehill's legs get if you do, in fact, try to let him beat you. Will he start to scramble as well? Because we all know he's capable of doing that. Obviously, was a wide receiver and then converted quarterback. So the athleticism is there. He's able to move his legs.
In his spots. I mean, he's not. I mean, look. No,
well,
I
know, just like Mahomes is in his spots. He's able to beat you with his legs.
He had 2 rushes for 3 against Buffalo, 3 for 21 against Jacksonville, 3 for 9 against the Jets, 5 for 56 against Indianapolis.
Because he had to against Indianapolis. The other 3 previous, he didn't have to do that because Derrick Henry was shredding those defenses. But again, if you're going to try to take that away and put 8 guys in the box, take away Derrick Henry, then you're going to see bootlegs. You're going to see that type of misdirection. If there's one thing that we've noticed at the Chiefs this year, quarterbacks are having good times that are mobile. They can do that. That's all I'm saying. I'm like you, though. It's like Alex Smith from the earlier days of the Chiefs before the Mahomes. If he throws the ball more than X amount of times, which back then was if Alex Smith is throwing the ball 30 times for the Chiefs probably aren't winning those games. Because everything was so methodical and game managed when they had him in there that they could do a 50-50 spread when it came to running the ball and passing the ball. They didn't want Alex Smith to go out there and start slinging it. The opposite, obviously, now. But I have to say this. I would be pissed if Tannehill does beat you and has like
If the Chiefs lose, I'll be pissed either way, right? I mean, I just...
Yeah. I mean, I don't think it's the end of the world.
No, I think but like, you're saying that do you feel even worse if Tannehill's the one that beat you, not Derrick Henry? I get what you're... What you're saying there, right? That's what you're alluding to. Like, if Ryan Tannehill does throw for over 300 yards and multiple touchdowns, and you lose, you're saying that sucks even more.
That's worse than getting.
But
like,
how
do you think teams felt in the '90s in the NBA if they were like, you know what, we're gonna let Pippen beat us, and then Pippen drops 40 on him, and Jordan has like a 19-point game. He didn't lose. You're like, well, then what the hell were we doing? How do we not be able to stop this at the end?
I would say we still had a better chance of winning that game going in with that plan. And so we'll take that sure. L if that's what it is. We'll adjust from there. How much do they look back to 2019 in that AFC Championship game? The defense was certainly playing way better than that, but they did find a way to come up with a plan. And I think it was Ryan Tannehill and the Titans in that AFC title game that the first series. They just passed. I remember going in, we were all like, oh, Derrick Henry's going to run all over Kansas City.
Right.
And what did the Titans do out of the gate? Turned out to be
pass,
a mistake.
Pass.
I think the first 6 or 7 plays were all passes. And we don't know how that game went. They held him in check. Not saying that they're holding him to 60 yards rushing.
And imagine if they do that and Chris Jones is disruptive up the middle as a defensive tackle and can get in Tannehill's face. And then all of a sudden it's like, okay, now you have to run. And when you run from behind, it's a different type of game than it is obviously the other way, which if Vrabel wants to do that, like, I still think Vrabel's going to have a bunch of trickery. I think he's going to try to mix things up. I think they're going to do more than just, like, have Tannehill come out and throw the ball. But, I mean, I do expect them to be very pass-heavy early and often in this game and then let Derrick Henry just kind of take over. I don't know if it'll be handoff, 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 and then, oh, hey, here's a play action and move from there. I think they're going to be more I guess they're going to be more adequate at passing the ball than I think we might think they will be.
I mean, other than the Cardinals game week one, I mean, he's rushed for over 113 yards in every game.
Right.
Other than week one.
I mean, it's a lock.
He's going to get his. So that's why I'm saying, like, you're not going to stop him. But the difference of giving up 113 and giving up 182 like Seattle did in week two, right? There's a major difference to me between that 60-yard difference is a 60-yard touchdown run, let's say.
Sure.
And that's where you have to find a way to cut out that.
The other thing, too, that's frustrating with Derrick Henry is that when he does hit that home run, it seems like it's super depleting for the defense. Because if you went back and watched that very entertaining Monday Night Football game, which I know you did, it was very slow to start off, right? I think it was like field goal, whatever it was. And then all of a sudden it was like, bang, Henry hit that long run and scored the first touchdown. And all of a sudden it was 7-6. And then it was just like, here it comes. Because it's like a reality check when that happens. If you can avoid that big, long touchdown run against Henry, which is very, very hard to do, because I don't know who your guys' favorites are, but somebody is going to get bodied by the Chiefs. Like, Derrick Henry is going to stiff arm somebody straight to hell and back. Well, and there's going to be a Jim Ross WWE voiceover. Well, now he's AEW for the nerds. But, like, the thing is like, if you can avoid that big home run from Henry, then I think you can manage the game a little bit easier. But once you give up that big burst, that's what you've got to avoid in my mind.
Who's willing to come? We saw Micah Hyde there for the Bills where he did the best he could. Like, he got ran over, but he had to step into it, right? If he doesn't step into it and take that, then Derrick Henry's still running on that play. Yeah, who's willing to do that? Who's not shying away from some
Sorensen
of that contact?
You think
he gets spotted?
I think he's just like anti-shy.
I think it's Charvarius Ward, unfortunately, in his first game back.
Oh, man, I hope not.
It's going to be someone in the secondary. We agree,
sure.
Right? I mean, that's just how this is going to work.
I don't think it'll be Bolton or Willie Gay.
I don't either. It's going to be one of the corners or safeties.
I mean, there's just been so
many victims. Unfortunately
for
Tyrann Mathieu, he's playing with the broken, you know, like they haven't said it. He tweeted it, he deleted it, and then he's got a wrap on it. So we
Neiman
can call
needs it from Henry. Sorensen getting drunk. Like, that's who should have had the graveyard in their front yard was Derrick Henry, of how many people he's just bodied instead of Myles Garrett.
You see, Kyler Murray, for those who don't know what we're talking about, Myles Garrett had, for Halloween, had a graveyard of quarterbacks in the league. It was pretty funny.
And Kyler wasn't there.
He was not. Kyler Murray was, and Kyler Murray's grave, I think, was smaller, too.
Yeah.
And Kyler Murray, there was audio that came out after the win against Myles Garrett. He went up to him. I don't know if you saw it. He went up to him, and he's like, "Man, why do you got me in the graveyard?" Yeah. They laughed about it, which is kind of funny. Like, it was clearly something that Kyler Murray was like well aware of and acknowledged after the game.
Gosh, I just don't know who's going to get it Sunday from
Someone has to be Micah Hyde, though.
Somebody's gonna get just
no, but like, not even like Micah Hyde took one for the team. Like, that had to happen. He's gonna get in space with he's gonna be 15 yards past the line of scrimmage, and there's gonna be an opening, and it's gonna be, you know, just Tyrann Mathieu or just Dan Sorensen, and it's not gonna look good,
but
someone's gonna have to step into it.
I'm putting my money on Nick Bolton.
I really hope it's not Thornhill.
It's gonna be a rookie, it's gonna be a young guy who doesn't understand
Snead.
Like, because I think Nick.
Are you talking run over, or are you talking about just Josh Norman stiff arm?
I'm talking about like the football equivalent of posterized.
Okay.
Yeah.
I don't know what it's going to look like.
Pancakes.
It could be trucked. It could be stiff armed. It's just going to get ugly. And Nick Bolton, rookie, probably doesn't quite understand the magnitude of what he's going up against.
He might just hit a thigh and bounce off.
I don't think it's Nick Bolton.
The problem is when he does it. It seems as when he does like a sweep or he goes the outside, which screams Thornhill, Sorensen, or like Willie Gay.
Yeah, I think it's are we putting in picks here? Charvarius Ward, unfortunately for him, is the guy that I would go with in this. His first game back, I think he's my candidate to either get the stiff arm or truck. Let's be honest, there's probably multiple guys that it happens to on Sunday.
Somebody's life is ending Sunday. I just don't know who it's going to be. A lot of people think it's Ben Neiman or Dan Sorensen. I just think Dan Sorensen plays so crazy and just doesn't care that at one point Derrick Henry is going to have him on a highlight reel where he's just getting absolutely put down in the earth. My opinion.
Multiple people now saying Frank Clark. See, Frank Clark's done a decent job setting the edge, and actually, I don't know if
he doesn't do that to defensive ends.
He's not
the big guys.
He's also not further enough from the line of scrimmage at that point.
So he doesn't have like a head of steam to roll him over
on the defensive end. Like, that's not the spot where it happens. It's the next level in the defense usually where you start seeing
where he starts going downhill, and you've got to
once he gets going. Good luck stopping that guy.
My question is for you two: is how much money would it take? I know you guys have talked about it. Like Cody's talked about that, but to me, there's no price.
There's always a price.
I mean, it's
to where
it's
you mean just stand at the 20-yard line, let him run through.
He's got a 25-yard head start,
and you have pads on at least.
Correct. You're in the same amount of pads you were when you jumped to that table.
Is like medical
Where
bills,
do you
everything.
Start it?
Yeah, so it'd have to be money and also acknowledging that, A, somehow the scenario.
Medical expenses?
And you get a 5-yard running at him, which adds more to the.
That's worse.
I'm not moving.
You got to move.
No, I think you just stand there.
You're just going Johnny Knoxville
stand
from
there
Jackass?
And just.
Well, I could say I could name a number, but if I'm sitting there watching, I know that I would just duck out of the way the last second.
$2,500. You started there. Is it got to be more than that?
No, It's way low. It's $2,500. No way.
$5,000.
No.
Yes, you would.
No.
You would for five.
$5,000. I'd stand there and let Derrick Henry run through me in full pads running downhill.
You'd do it for $5,000.
Okay, how about $5,000 and you get to go national? You get your own nationally syndicated radio show.
No, that's too much.
No. Well, just no. My answer is no to that, by the way.
$10,000.
What? You don't.
What?
$10,000.
You get to
We're way low. You guys are way low on the dollar
amount. I'm not going to do this stupid thing where I'm like $50,000.
Yeah, that's probably the amount.
Nah, you're dumb.
You get to replace Stephen A. Smith on First Take.
You do it for $10,000.
For $10,000, would I potentially have life-altering health?
No. You're not going to have life-altering health.
How about an Italian dinner with Kay Adams?
You do it. Well, $100, and then that was the case. $50, and I got a dinner date with Kay Adams. Sorry, it's babe.
The conversation doesn't start till we're at $20,000. I'll say that.
Okay, you're dumb.
You get to watch a basketball game with Rick Fox.
$7,500. 100%. I guarantee you would. Yes, you would. You're eating Cheez-Its and water. You could now eat Mambas and Sprite. I'm just telling you. Like, I'm dead serious. You would do it if somebody put $7,500 cash
line
in front of your. They're with me.
That's Mick. Someone says $20,000. They'll do
$5,000.
Their back will be messed
up
for life. Someone says $500 in medical expenses. Do it for the TikTok.
Then you could sell it. Then you're making so much more. You'd do it for $7,500 cash with a. If somebody came to you with a deal or no deal cash,
an envelope right now.
Yes.
Yep.
Yes, you would.
You're such a liar.
You're lying to yourself.
By the way, I've yet to hear an answer from either of you.
Less than your number.
What's your number then?
$5,000.
$5,000. Yep.
Yes.
Yep.
Okay. What, I'd do it for $3,500. I would stand there.
Yeah, you could barter with me.
Let him do it.
You could barter with me, and I'd lower the number too.
I'm not full time. I work part time. I'd take the rest of the year off, and then I'd do this: sell it, go broadcast it. I'd go do it. I'd go do interviews everywhere.
Because if they got the cash in front of me, I'm gonna say okay.
A briefcase full of non-tax cash of $3,500. Sign me up. It is what it is. You're doing it.
Yeah, you are.
$2,500 if I had pads on from the 913. $500 medical expenses. Do it for the TikTok. $5,000, I'd do it.
I'm gonna say the key is you have to include medical expenses because you're all excited about your $2,500. You're getting about $30,000 in medical
expenses
bills
are paid. That's right, what you just said before we started it. You said
so you're including
medical
that.
Bills are paid. No, that's not into the cash. They're gonna get you medical help.
Someone says,
not gonna be as bad as you think. You're gonna get popped. You might get knocked down. They put that little salt thing in your nose to wake you up, but you're gonna do it for $3,500. You'd do it for $3,500 cash.
And somebody on the text line brings up a good point. You jumped through that table for nothing.
Yeah.
Nobody even asked you to do that.
No.
You volunteered.
Derrick Henry running through me is way worse than jumping through a table.
Yeah, dude, guys get tackled all the time. They're fine.
Yeah, not guys that are 165 pounds.
Kickers get hit every once in a while on kickoffs, you know.
That's the only real test. Harrison Butker needs to be somehow in a situation
Harrison Butker is in significantly better shape than you.
Yeah, obviously. Thank you for making more of my points. That's exactly right. And Harrison Butker would
this
be
has never
destroyed
been about you.
By Derrick Henry.
Yeah, but it's, again, like.
Text line, $100,000 if you can tackle him, $0 if you don't. Oh, well, you're not tackling Derrick Henry.
You go low. Hopefully you can trip him up.
Dude, you'd be
go low.
That's where you'd get hurt. That's where you'd have some, because you might jack your neck up there trying to do that.
You grab his leg. He would get out of your grasp of his leg in 2 seconds.
Okay, what if you had 100 tries? You think you could bring him to the ground
once? Now you're stretching the envelope.
Come on. 100 tries.
I just know for a fact that
text
if somebody
line, broken ribs, punctured lung, spleen, shoulder, $50,000.
That's not going to happen. You're not.
Puncturing a lung. He doesn't have a knife on him.
The first, yeah.
Hold on, Rob Gronkowski had a punctured lung. Nobody stabbed him in the football game.
He got hit 1,000 times. He got hit once.
And he got hit very, very hard, and he was up in the air defenseless.
Do you not think Derrick Henry's going to hit you hard when he runs
through? No, he's
going to
lower his shoulder and put you in the ground. He's not going to break your entire body.
Yeah.
Come on. You do it. $3,500 cash in a
I would do it eventually. I'm just telling you. I'm sorry. I don't agree with the dollar amount for you.
Well, I just think that you're.
But you act like you're
putting
so
it too
expensive.
High on a pedestal.
Yeah.
It's not on a pedestal. It's the idea that I don't want to end up in a
hospital.
Yeah,
and guess they said, you're going to be fine. And you get dinner with Kay Adams afterwards? Oof,
anywhere.
Oh, that's thrown in too. Okay.
Marina 27.
And she acts
Chilean
like
Chilean sea bass is what she would
order. And she acts like she wants to be there too. Like she acts like she was excited to go to dinner with you.
She would be.
You think so?
Yeah. If you're taking her and getting her like Chilean sea bass, you're getting her a nice filet with a lobster tip. Yes. Hell yeah, she'd be happy with that.
And she says it too. She says, I'm so excited we finally got a chance to do this.
Again, like somebody brings up the Sean Taylor hitting Brian Mormon. Again, he was running full speed and the other guy was running. We're not running. We're standing there holding your face and holding what God gave you between your legs. And then he's just going to hit you.
The next time we have Sean Barber in studio, I want to ask him about this. Maybe we'll
call him right now.
Send a text to Sean Barber. Get his perspective. I think you're oversimplifying it.
I'm not. I'm just saying $3,500 is a lot of cash for guys like us.
Coming up next, I'll tell you why this is the week the Chiefs turnover luck ends.
Cody and Gold, weekdays 10 to 2, 610 Sports Radio.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.